this time, I'd like to call the April 20th Planning and Land Development Regulation Board meeting. And with that, I'd like everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, if you will call the roll.
Mr. Henderson.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas.
Here.
Mr. Cuff.
Here.
Mr. Davis.
Here.
Mr. Beebe.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. And first item on tonight's agenda is the meeting minutes from our March 16th meeting. You have those minutes in front of you.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second by Mr. Cuff. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? With that, we will move to our second item tonight. And that is a sign variance setback. This will be a public hearing, and we will have an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and give us their views on any of the item relating to this. How we'll do this tonight is we'll have a staff presentation, and then we'll have an applicant's presentation, and then the board will have an opportunity to ask questions of staff or the board, and then at that point we will open it up for public comment. So we will get to anyone who does want to speak at that appropriate time. So with that, let me turn it over to Mr. Tyner and his team for the presentation. Go ahead, and I need to step away from this item since this project is one that I'm associated with as a consultant. So I will not be voting on this item, but I'll go ahead and maintain the chair position. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good evening, PLDRB members. This is a sign setback. This is a little bit different than our normal variances. I know throughout the years and this year we've heard some variances, and I think this is probably the first one that uses a different criteria than you were probably used to with the Land Development Code or other setback variances. Within our sign chapter, chapter 12 of our Land Development Code, it specifically calls out two types of different variances related to signs and related to signs only. And it's a very narrow what you can get a variance for a sign. And two of those are for setback for a sign, and then the other is for increasing the sign's width. So, doing a variance for a sign is very narrow, and the criteria itself is a bit more narrow than you're probably used to. Again, it comes from our Chapter 12 of our Land Development Code. Ida, me and our planner will have the staff presentation and provide that criteria and our recommendation for approval. So, Ida, take it.
Good evening. My name is Ida Nguyen. I'm planning with Community Development. I'm here to present this request for a sign variance from Section 12.0407, Application 3038. Use reviewed this case in January as Protea Senior Living. I believe now they're calling it Sable Palms, but it's the same project. Just to refresh your memories, the general location of this project was south of Palm, the Palm Harbor Parkway extension and the Forest Grove intersection. You can see by the star on the map, that's the site. Again, for TAS Senior Living or Sable Palms, it is an 18.67 acre site. The request was for an assisted living facility. The applicant is Charlie Faulkner and Associates. The future land use of the subject tract is mixed use and the zoning is commercial. This was a site plan that was approved in January. It calls for a 100-bed assisted living facility with associated parking. The applicant proposed two phases. This board approved phase one for approximately 64,000 square feet. This graphic shows what the sign would request if it was compliant with our setback requirement, how it would look on the left, and the applicant's proposed sign location without the setback on the right. Just to clarify, on the left is the proposed monument sign. It would touch a stamped concrete median and be 10 feet off what is the property line and the right-of-way line. That's a proposed full-use entry on the site across from Chris Lane. The graphic on the right shows the proposed sign location without the 10-foot required setback. It would be at the property line and be at the right-of-way line. Just to provide some background, as Ray said, Chapter 12 is our sign chapter, and Section 12.07 of the LDC specifically addresses sign variances and says that the board may grant variances based on two variance options. One is to permit a setback for a sign that is less than the required setback, which is in this instance. The second is to permit the area or height of a sign to be increased by 25% or greater. The variance criteria asks that the board make review findings on special conditions. The two criteria options are that the site be identified as having a special condition, either in terms of shallowness, shape, topography of the premises. The second criteria states that compliance with the sign code would prevent the activity from earning a reasonable return as compared to other activities in the area. And clearly, criteria two wouldn't be applicable in this case because there are no competing projects in this vicinity. So really, what we're considering is in staff's view, criteria number one. Staff finds that criteria number one is met. We do view this lot as having a special condition or configuration, not due to narrowness, but to the fact that there's over 1,000 linear feet of frontage. There's a wide outward curvature of the project site location. The sign location will allow for ample and visible stopping distance. Across from the sign placement is 124 feet of right-of-way. The proposed full entry of the site is was done at staff's request so that it aligned with Chris Lane. In other words, the applicant may have had a preferred location for the sign, but at staff's request, due to safety, they redesigned their project and their site to align with Chris Lane. So that was done at staff's request. And this was reviewed by our transportation planner, and he found that there was no safety impact. So staff finds criteria one is met. The special condition existed in the shape and premises in which the activity is to be located. We are recommending that the board approve application 3038 to reduce the required 10-foot minimum side setback to 0 feet. That concludes staff's presentation. I know, I just want to say that the applicant mailed 55 certified letters to comply with the notification requirements for this request, and I do believe that the applicant has a presentation.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Faulkner, would you like to come forward and make your presentation?
What these graphics do, if you sort of study them a little bit, it It shows the relationship between the edge of the sign closest to the road and the actual pavement where the road is going to be. With that distance to the center line of the two lanes on the road to the edge of that sign is a little over 94 feet, which is, it's a considerable distance. The entire right-of-way, as I pointed out, in this area is 124 feet. So the next graphic, this one is better. This graphic is kind of busy, but the reason that I produced it like this was to illustrate a few things. You'll see a faint red line that touches the outside of where the sign location is here. The sign is shown as a white bar. That is the property line, which coincides with the, you know, let's call it the western edge or southern edge of the road right-of-way. And you can see the proposed asphalt is all the way on the other side of the right-of-way. This, the other side of the right-of-way, and I could kick myself I didn't put a red line over there, but it's essentially where that brown dotted mass is that indicates ground cover, landscape planting. That's how wide the right-of-way is. And these two lanes are on the other side, the farthest away from our project. The base for this graphic were two things married together. One is the landscape design that we are going to do on our project and are required to do by Land Development Code, as well as some of the trees and landscaping that came from Bill Butler's plan on the landscaping of the road itself. You can see in between the driving lanes where the vehicles are going to be, there's a bike path and a swale, actually. And the reason that we felt like, and this is that I can recall, this is the only variance I've ever asked for since I've been in Flagler County or Palm Coast in 20 years. This one, because of where it is on the curve, you can see what I've labeled as an improved site triangle. With the sign set back 10 feet from the right-of-way, and particularly with that curve and the landscaping, you're going to have a very short period of time when it first becomes visible and when you can actually read it. When you're dealing with FDOT, the size of the sign and the letters are basically a function of the speed of the traffic, the design speed, and how long it's going to take a person to read whatever's on the sign. It's got to be visible. It's got to be big enough that it's visible so you can start reading it and have enough time to finish reading it before you can't see the sign anymore. With most jurisdictions' land development or their sign codes, they really don't take that into consideration. You're just simply limited by the size and how much you can put on that sign. I guess that's it. By moving the sign further, closer to the property line, you extend that visibility triangle and give motorists an opportunity to realize that they're there before they pass it and have to turn around and come back. So that's probably as good an explanation as I can give you.
Okay, thank you. We will bring it back to the board and entertain any questions for the staff or for the applicant. And we'll start with you, Mr. Henderson.
Yeah, that thin red line, that's the border of your property right where the sign is, the proposed sign?
Yes, sir, man.
And you're going to move it right? That's where you want to put it now.
That's what I'm asking, to be able to put it there.
On the other side of that is what? Lanes of traffic?
On the other side of...
of the red line.
Well, immediately on the other side of the red line is a grassy area and then an actual swale, a drainage swale that will be conveying stormwater.
Okay, so where does the traffic lane start?
The traffic lane is indicated in gray.
That's a bike path.
Well, the light gray is a bike path. The darker gray is asphalt.
Okay.
And it is confusing, and I apologize.
That's all right.
You can use your mouse to show right if you need to where the road is. There's the road, Mr. Anderson.
Okay.
It's way out there.
So this is a multi-use path that it's called. This is biking and walking.
Yeah, I know.
So you've got...
And the dark green is a swale.
Yes, the dark green is a swale. And normally, you would, with a right-of-way 124 feet wide, it's big enough for four lanes. But the traffic engineers don't really feel that it's ever going to need to be four lanes, which is probably why they laid it out like this. There's a lot of activity. It's kind of busy between where the cars are going to be and where our sign is going to be.
What's the size of the sign? You want to height?
It'll be 96 feet.
Pardon?
It'll be a 96-foot sign.
96?
Square feet.
Square feet, like 7 feet high.
And I would add, we're not asking for that. It meets your code requirements.
It meets the code requirements. Because of the linear footage, they qualify for the 96 feet.
That's 90. 17 foot high by what?
7 feet high by.
I got it. What is it, 96?
Maybe 12 feet, 11 feet.
Okay.
I should know.
It's 7 feet high is the maximum.
And we thought about asking for that variance as well, but I don't think by making it higher is going to it's not going to make it more visible.
Okay.
So there'll be pedestrian traffic.
And
bicycle traffic
on the light gray.
crossing the driveway here. I mean, everything kind of converges right there at the end.
Could the public kind of refrain from talking while the board and the and this goes a little distracting. So
are we going to open it for questions?
We will. Yes, we will. So we'll give you an opportunity to speak.
Again, so there'll be this convergence of vehicular and pedestrian and bicycle traffic right there at the entranceway. What kind of safety features will be included here? It just seems like there's a lot going on right at that entranceway to me.
Well, the multi-purpose path are this one's going to be very similar to what you see throughout your city. And that was designed, we had nothing to do with that design. That was already done before, I guess actually a year or more ago. So the only way we can access our property is to cross it.
And that conforms with our safety requirements?
Yes, these newer roadway projects are incorporating all the ADA standards that the earlier road projects didn't incorporate, so in some sense, the state of the art.
This project, the ADA requirements changed very recently. I mean, literally, extended 6 months ago. This project meets all the current ADA requirements.
And also because it was an ALF, it was scrutinized even further in that regard, and on site.
And Ms. Lucas, if I can just add, you know, basically what the applicant's asking is, you know, what was right away is, you know, it's excessive amount. So where you see where the bike path is, the gray area, down for where they're proposing to put the sign, you have a lot of green space.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, like if you go on Palm Coast Parkway, you know, you've got the lanes there, you've got the monument signs that we allow that, you know, very good visibility, so people know they don't have to turn around, you know, our typical monument signs, and that's kind of what we're proposing here. And the reason that we're recommending a variance here is because, you know, to be able to bring it closer to where the road is, it would look like a normal monument sign. And actually, it probably would look a little odd if it was back, because it would be way too far. You know, you drive on the road, it would be like, you know, because you're seeing that green space. So basically, you know, the variance is bringing it closer to the right-of-way, and it would look, in my opinion, staff opinion, a little bit more normal.
It would not present a sight line.
No, all that has been checked by our traffic engineer. No, ma'am.
It's actually going to be further away than maybe any sign. As far as from the driving lane itself, it'll be further away than any monument sign in the city that I can think of.
Yeah, I'm still far away.
Thank you.
Which is why we're asking for the variance.
Yeah, but either Ida or Charlie, I mean, how, from the edge of the bike path to the edge of the sign closest to the property line, I mean, that, what is that distance, you know, offhand? I mean,
from the edge of the bike path?
Yeah, I mean, from the edge of where the public would be going up and down. Yeah, the distance from there to
probably
the edge of the property.
In the vicinity of 45 to 50 feet.
Yeah.
10, 20, 30, yeah.
It's 94 feet from the red line. No, I'm sorry. It's 84 feet from the red line to the center of the dark gray road, of the asphalt. So it's about probably about 40 feet.
Okay. And if I understood you correctly, then, I mean, one of the rationales for this is what is the speed limit on?
45.
So it's going to be 45 on the improved Palm Harbor Parkway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the rationales isn't just its visibility, but it's visibility that gives the drivers going north or south on Palm Harbor Parkway time to realize that's the entrance to the assisted living facility, break in time to turn in, either making a right or left-hand turn, without doing what I do a lot and saying, darn, I missed it.
There it is.
Go down and have to bang a U-turn somewhere.
And bear in mind, this is going to have some, you know, pretty dense landscaping.
Well, I mean, it's assuming that's the landscape plan, I mean, that's what it looks like. But
yeah.
So it's 40 to 45 feet from the closest edge of the bike path, multi-purpose path.
I feel comfortable saying it's 35 feet from the closest.
I mean, I'm not trying to overstate it. Just it's hard to get scale there, but it looks like it's a long way, even though it's right on the property line. Okay, that's the only question I have.
Mr. Davis,
staff, isn't this part of the road realignment project that's going on right now, or is going to be in effect bringing that around? And the speed limit is 45, correct?
Right now, yes.
Okay. I don't know who is designing the sign and all, being a traffic engineer. What's going to block your sign even more is going to be whatever landscape the city puts up on that roadway. So if we don't do some type of restriction on what the city could put on that roadway, their sign's going to mean absolutely nothing. The city plants trees. He can block it right out of here. Plus, his property is way back. Who maintains from the red line to the roadway, the pavement?
They
will be responsible.
They would be maintaining the easement area. They would be maintaining the area on their property. That's their property.
That is their property?
Yes, they will be maintaining their property.
I think this question was from the red line.
From the road, right. From the road back and their property line.
Oh, that's the city. The city right away will be maintained by the city.
Yes.
Is that in the documents?
No, that's the city of the property.
Those are the main things to me is the concerns of whatever the city, I mean, looking at what your visibility is, the speed limit times that, also designates the height and the size of the letters that are needed on the sign to be read at 45 miles an hour safely. So that's a long distance back. And it's just a long distance back off, you know, your rate of your property line. So,
okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Faulkner, we will give you an opportunity to come back if you need to, but at this point in time, I think we're going to open it up to the public, and we will allow anybody from the public that wants to come forward. If you would, just come step up to the podium and state your name and address, and then tell us your thoughts.
I'd like to ask him a question.
Just come up to the podium and fire.
I'm coming.
And then we'll try to answer your questions after you've gone through your talk.
My name is John Cassis. I live at 9 Ferndale Lane in Palm Coast. We met this gentleman before when this senior living was being designed and planned for that land there. The question I have is, the size of the lot is supposed to be 18.67 acres. Is that the entire lot, or is that just the portion that they're using? Yes. And if so, is the entire lot now has been zoned commercial, even though supposedly some of it is wetlands? That's a question I have.
Okay.
And that's a great concern to us, because if it's all zoned commercial, first we start with a senior living, tomorrow we end up with a bar, and God knows what all. So that's the question I have. Obviously, as a property owner around the corner from there,
we'll answer that question. Although that really isn't the topic of what we're looking at the sign variance, but that's fine. That the
people that give them the permission to plan this stuff.
The 18 acres is the entire property, and the entire property is zoned commercial.
And what is going on the 18.67 acres? Obviously, that's not all occupied by that.
A large portion of the property is a wetland and it's in conservation.
And will remain so.
And will remain so.
Why was it zoned commercial then?
The city's zoned commercial years ago when they created their zoning map. They did not rezone this property recently. This applicant did not rezone it.
Okay. Is there a possibility that the so-called wetlands, which are zoned commercial, can be converted to regular use by fixing the wetland area?
I don't have an answer. I just know that it's wetlands and they're preserving it. Okay, anything else?
You can answer that question.
Okay, next.
Let me ask you a question.
We're talking about a sign variance tonight, so we've already dealt with the project in January where it was approved. Tonight's issue is the sign variance, so I understand your questions, but we can't go back and revisit the approval of the process that's already been done. Tonight's issue is the variance for the sign.
Typical schedule. Thank you very much.
Anybody else like to speak on this issue? Anybody else? Okay, seeing no one else approach the podium, we'll close the public hearing and we'll bring it back to the board for any additional discussion, comments, or questions.
On the, I see the extension going past, that's the street over there. Go straight across the sign, straight ahead in gray, dark gray, that's the street.
Chris Lane.
Yes, I mean, we have other, This is proposed Chris Lane. This is Chris Lane over.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be Chris Lane.
Yeah, this is Chris Lane, so it's going to be realigned as part of the Palm Harbor Extension Project.
Okay, that's right next to where the gate used to be, where they're going into the
Creek Course.
What is it?
The Golf Course.
Creek Course. The Golf Course.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Realignment. Okay. So that's not a really busy. That's not a busy street. It's almost dead ended. Nobody else. So not many people going.
Any other discussion?
I make a motion that we approve a variance from section 120407 to reduce the 10-foot minimum setback to the sign for a placement of 0 feet from the property line.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Henderson. Second. Any further discussion? And if not, we will go ahead and call the vote.
Mr. Henderson.
Here. Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Mr. Cuff.
Yes.
Mr. Davis.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Motion passes. Okay, thank you very much.
And so did our, can I make a comment? So did our applicant, the Mr. Whatever Doesn't Go Away upset. If it's a wetlands on the property, it'll be a little hard for them to develop it. It won't be developed that easy, and it has to come back to the planning board for a variance. It won't pass.
Okay. So the wetland will maintain there, and then you will inform the people around there that have property. Will they be informed if that ever gets changed?
Yes.
That was our question.
We don't remember being informed about the senior center.
Mr. Chairman, is that
the kind of thing? I can't
pick that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the next item.
Appreciate you just wanted to make that one comment for them, and then they're finished.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr.
And anything that would come back on that property would have to be public notice so that the public would be made aware of it. So.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, let's go to our next item on the agenda. And this is the European Village application 2939, and it's a proposed master plan development modification. Mr. Tyne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is something that we, the planning division, actually working and with our with Bo and our business assistant center, and with that, I'm going to let Bo's going to have the introduction, and Ida's going to give the technical planning presentation.
Good evening, planning board members. Good to be with you again. Another exciting project in my mind, kind of like Island Walk. It wasn't too long ago, if we all hopefully have forgotten about it, that Palm Coast was the poster child for the boom and bust of real estate. And as you remember, European Village was sort of the poster child for Palm Coast. I remember it even being in some articles in Wall Street Journal and things. Well, today, very happy to say that I think Palm Coast is boom, bust, and prosperity, and European Village is the poster child of that as well. The business owners there, not developers, the ones that really batten down hatches and made it through this latest downturn in the economy, have pulled together and really turned around European Village with the special events and the improvements that have gone on there. So my office, the Business Assistance Center, worked with that group of folks in starting those efforts, really just trying to help them along. They did all the work, and today we work with planning staff to relook at their master plan development to help them continue to see the rebound and growth that's occurring there at European Village. With that, Ida has all the important planning details for you.
Yeah, I just want to add this is also a city initiated application as well.
Good evening. I'm Ida Meehan, Planning and Community Development. Second case I'm presenting tonight is European Village. It's a proposed modification to the existing master plan development. It's also application number 2939. As Ray said, it's a city-initiated rezoning. However, it's really done in partnership with those we work with at European Village also. Our primary goal was to update and clarify the allowed zoning uses at European Village. But when staff reviews these older development agreements, we tend to want to update other language and so forth to make it consistent with how we approach these agreements today. This is, of course, the location for European Village, as we all know it, at Palm Harbor Parkway and Hammock Dunes Parkway, near the bridge. Parcel on the right is, of course, where the existing development lies. The parcel on the left is primarily used for parking, and it's approximately 11 acres. The future land use of the parcel with development is mixed use. The zoning, again, is master plan development, which has a development agreement associated with it. In terms of the intent language for European Village, it's well stated on the original ordinance. It says that it's primarily a mixed-use infill project located to complement lifestyle, be pedestrian-oriented, and serve as a destination location for residents within Palm Coast and those outside our area. Just some background, the original zoning was approved in 2002. It can be seen in Ordinance 2002-04. European Village was amended in 2013 through Ordinance Number 2013-08. The 2013 ordinance allowed a management office, it updated the parking calculation, and it changed the plant unit development terminology to master plan development references to match our 2008 land development code. So in other words, before 2008, a master plan development was referred to as a plan unit development. It's the same thing, basically. Ordinance number 2004 focused a great deal, understandably, on the build-out of European Village. It described the development process, the phasing, and the architectural standards. The original ordinance established 143,920 square feet as the total building maximum, 95 residential units. It established the impervious coverage limitation to 70%, And in 2013, the parking calculation was redetermined to be 305 spaces. Note, these proposed master development modifications we're talking about today include no proposed changes to the existing entitlements. So just to be clear, by that we mean there's no change to setbacks, no change to square footages of buildings, to the number of units, to the parking, or to the impervious coverage. Those would typically be things that would alter the development intensity or density on site. So what proposed modifications are we recommending? The current ordinance, the original ordinance, has what we refer to as attachment G. I'll show you that after this table. It's a list of specialty uses that has sort of evolved to be the go-to list for allowable uses at European Village. In our view, it's overly restrictive and narrow, and it certainly doesn't embody zoning terminology as we want to use today. So we're proposing, and just want to clarify that commercial two uses are allowed at European Village, and we're kind of taking the approach that was done for Island Bowl, commercial two with a few restrictions, and let that be the zoning allowed uses for European Village. Another proposed modification, the 2013 ordinance was never integrated in the original ordinance. This proposed modification does that. We updated the master plan development terminology, we updated the parking, and we included that office use. Another proposed change, the original ordinance was a bit fuzzy, I would say, on special events. The proposed modification streamlines on-site special events for European Village, which I think has become a real success story for Palm Coast and the village itself. They've conducted a number of really wonderful events there, and this will allow that success to continue, in our view. The original ordinance was silent as to how to manage internal landscaping. We're proposing that internal landscaping in the courtyard area can be conducted as maintenance and not to micromanage it. As I said, the 2013 ordinance provided for 305 parking spaces to be maintained. And we've also included a clause that additional parking can be obtained through a minor site plan process. And the original ordinance limited the signage at European Village to one monument sign of 32 feet. The irony is today, just as with the case we heard, that they would qualify for an additional signage allotment under the current land development code. So we would just like to permit that to happen. So the monument sign could actually be enlarged much the same as the signage that would be allowed in that we spoke to about in the previous case, because they have all that frontage that was never allowed to be calculated when it was originally done. So I just want to refer you to attachment G. This was part of the original ordinance, and somehow it took on sort of more life than probably originally intended. And so you have items like a crêperie, that it has to be French, and that it has to be made in front of a customer. We would never, of course, isolate a crêperie under our zoning categories today. We would just say a restaurant. We would never say an ice creamery, French, and it has to have wine cocktail flavor ice cream. It's just a list of kind of boutique and specialty items. Some of them are referenced by chains that don't exist anymore. And it's really kind of clouded the ability to administer this from a zoning perspective with ease and consistency. And we're recommending that this be removed and it simply be commercial to uses. Also, in terms of proposed signage, they proposed that because of their desire to brand European Village, and also because of the unique configuration of the property and the location near the bridge, that they be allowed to have a sign such as this to identify the village and brand it to people crossing the bridge. And they have also developed a logo for an external sign plan. What we like about European Village as planners is we really do like the European style architecture, the mixed use, the urban form, and the features. We believe that this modification to the MPD supports those goals. And also, it fosters the vibrancy of the property, that it be active and vibrant in terms of events, pedestrian activity, businesses, and residential living experiences, both to residents of Palm Coast and again to those that live outside of the community. So with that, I conclude my presentation. If there are questions.
Okay, thank you. Board, questions for staff?
Could I have that one back where you had the different things that you could use? Go back one more. Yeah. What you're doing is you're asking to take away the second part as to what actually has to be done inside of the business? Is that what you're asking us to do? Such as it says crepes made in front and all that kind of stuff. That entire list on that side you would like to eliminate, is that correct?
We don't think it's necessary or that it's achieving its purpose. We worked with this list and it's called...
Yeah, Mr. Henderson, what we're proposing to do, like we've done in some past projects with MPD, development agreements, this was done in 2002. What we're proposing is that the retail businesses within European Village will be governed under our land development code as COM2. Those are all those retail businesses, restaurants, and those type of things. Because technically, when you look at this list and it says, it's caused us some problems because, crepery, French. Okay, well, I don't have a French crepery. I have an Italian crepery. Well, you can't go in there because it says French. Well, you can get that silly.
That's what I'm asking. You want to eliminate all of that?
Yes, sir.
And the other part is, I see down here one other thing that kind of caught my attention. It says Lotto, Horse, and Dog Racing Bar.
I didn't see that.
You're going to eliminate that too?
Yes.
Okay. As a non allowed function.
That's right. This goes away, and our list for commercial 2 would apply for land development code.
Thank you. Where are you going to add this extra parking? Is that something that's coming up at a different time at a different?
Right.
Okay.
There's interest.
So that's not here at this time.
We have a proposal right now.
Fine. The parking space is 305. Does that include the ones that are underneath the building?
Yes.
Yeah. Are those open to people who are coming in to, like, to the markets? Or is that just for the people who live there?
I believe those are privately owned.
Those are privately owned spaces. So that means that 305, all of those 305 are not for people coming. Okay, we got a problem.
That's why, Mr. Henderson, I'm sorry, just to elaborate a little bit, that's why in this agreement we thought it was important to add language to be able to add some parking in the future.
Yeah. Okay, I'm finished.
When this list is no longer used, is it going to be replaced
with the commercial to zoning uses in our land development code? I think it's table 2.2 or 3.2 in our chapter 3 of our land development code. So in other words, we have commercial 1 uses, commercial 2, all in tabular form. So really it's a more equitable way of evaluating uses in our view than something what this has become.
I think that this was meant to convey a certain feel to that area.
Right.
So that the crêperie and the doll maker and the French boutique and perfumes, all of this was supposed to convey a sense that you were shopping in Europe or having a European experience.
Absolutely.
And so I'm wondering now if we're going to maintain the name European Village, are we then going to be seeing things like, you know, I don't know. What will we see, if not a European flavor?
Well,
are we going to try and maintain a standard or a theme in European Village?
Right.
Or is it going to be Max's Deli and, you know, I don't know.
Each development, each shopping center has all kind of private agreements about what can be allowed, how many, Publix generally will have a provision that another pharmacy can't be located on the site. And that's really, the owners of the businesses in European Village have an association, and they will regulate those kind of items. I think for Palm Coast, for city government, it's really to, what can be allowed in Island Walk should be able to be allowed in European Village's commercial uses from a city standpoint. I think the village has done a pretty good job of really regulating what businesses come in and to make sure there's a variety and things you don't see, 40 yogurt shops in there or things like that. So it'll be pretty much up to European Village to make sure that they maintain that brand of a European village. I think from my perspective as an economic development is, yes, they have agreements, Ms. Lucas, about how many different types of restaurants and what kind of theme they can have, and maybe the applicant can speak later to how they're trying to maintain that European Village theme with the improvements they make and the events that they have. But I'll tell you, this list is unruly for city staff to enforce, and it's really, when I first came here and looked at it, I know I had that same feeling, it's like alien for government to regulate types of this specific types of businesses. So, but I think maybe the applicant can answer that question better later during public comment about how they're going to maintain that European village feel.
It's not just feel, but if this is advertising, yes? So if you're advertising European Village, it's not just the structures, it's what's in there and what's for sale. So if we're scrapping this list, is the city going to be looking at what comes in to make sure that there's some kind of, a standard, or is it subject to being changed to Max's Village next year or some other name?
Well, I think you can see by the proposed signage they want to maintain the brand.
Not just that, to be frank, when you look at the list, just my opinion, but I think they've actually made it a little bit more European than what this list is. I mean, you've got an Irish place that's not listed here. You've got Italian. You've got all the different. You've got another Italian place. You've got you got a mix. of different eateries, you know, Mexican theme and that type of thing. So it's my opinion, it's more European than this Frenchness.
My block is more European.
Yeah, I'm just saying they're doing a great job, like Bo said, of keeping their brand.
I think the farmer's market is another example of reinforcing the brand.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Cobb.
I have no questions.
Davis.
On the list of the realtors that are in there, do they fall under European? Do they have to be Italian or Greek or whatever, because on that list there shows no realtors, but it does show a travel agency. So we're going to have a travel agency that you can go to Europe from there. The other question was, when this was first being built and developed, wasn't there a problem with unowned land that it was built on?
I don't understand the question.
It was, part of it was stopped because he was building on land he did not own.
There was a dispute about the land, yes.
Yeah, well, there was a dispute over the land. I know it was, and he was building on land that he didn't own.
Yeah, well, they stopped for a few months, and I don't know how that was resolved.
Was reconciled. The parking easement you're talking about? Parking?
No, it had something to do with some of the buildings. Okay. The far end of the buildings,
yeah. It was a dispute.
And apartments were being built for land.
There was a gentleman that came and addressed that at one time.
Mm-hmm. At Thornton,
right?
Yeah, well, it was a dispute.
Presentation.
That's an article.
Okay, so basically what we're saying is what the city likes this idea and eliminating Whetstone. I like Whetstone. Whetstone chocolate is good.
But we just...
But that's my concern, to make sure we, you know, property problems and... this list is not engraved in gold, from what you tell me. Right?
I think from a CON2.
The owner can put anybody in that he wants.
Not anybody has to follow our CON2's own district.
So they got to be European?
No, sir.
Well, they don't have
to. No, restaurant can come in.
Okay, that's all.
That's what we're going to look at now. Like what Bo was talking about, the association, now there's no regulation and rules. You know, when we see, can a restaurant come in? We're not looking at French.
We're not tasting the menu.
Yeah.
A French restaurant under COM2 could come in, as well as a German or a Portuguese, and a French boutique, and a Birkenstock. That's a funny one. But those would be allowed under COM2. It's not that those uses wouldn't be allowed. It's just... I'm not sure we could ever regulate who owns and operates a business. I don't know if that'd be a thing to regulate.
Again, we're just looking to maintain an international flavor. I'll say international rather than singularly European. Mm-hmm. So that if a business from Latin America, Africa, Asia came in and proposed an acceptable use, they could be in this as well, in this mix as well.
So this also covers the farmer's market that they hold in on Sundays there, right? They're all from Europe.
I think we're getting hung up on this European context.
Yeah.
We don't do this level of scrutiny on any other project in the city. We don't dictate what type of businesses can come in as long as they meet our land development code and fulfill all those requirements. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. I know some of this is in jest, but it's a COM2 zoning classification, just like any other COM2 zoning classification in the city. If someone has a business and they want to go into European Village under the COM2 zoning class, then that's how they will be viewed from the city staff standpoint. This list here that you see in front of you is not done in any other place in the city, and nor should it be done here. So,
I'd like to hear from our attorney, Mrs. Reichman. When we proposed this and we put this into our development plan, was that legal?
Yes. Yes, it's legal. It's very, very, very unorthodox. I've never seen anything like that. But you can have a developer agree to any kind of crazy thing. And this is one.
This is one.
We had a pretty trying board at the time. And they were kind of opposed to the whole concept, so that's why all of this wound up in the plan.
Yes. But I did want to point out also that I don't know who wrote it, if it was staff or if it was the applicant, but in any event, there's a lot of good language in the MPD talking about it being a pedestrian-oriented European-style village. So it's, you know, it's sort of, that's what the goal is. It's not mandating a particular use, but it's still got some good language to try to keep it with the flavor of what was intended, I think.
That particular language that you just mentioned will still be a part of the ordinance.
Correct.
Just this will disappear.
That's right. And there also are, I don't know if I'd have mentioned the forbidden uses. There still are some prohibited uses that will go along, so it won't be just anything in Compton.
Well, I think it's important to, and this is just my personal opinion, to say that obviously this project has had a difficult history through different points in time, and I think it's a tribute to the retail association, that commercial retail association, and those businesses that have pushed through some very difficult times. And I'm amazed at the turnaround there, frankly, just as someone who goes there occasionally to see what they've been able to accomplish. I think it's just a tremendous success story, and I know that really didn't have a lot to do with what we're talking about, but I applaud the retailers there for
it is
making this thing happen and surviving. I think they've done a great job. So. If we don't have any more questions at the board level right now, we do need to open it up to the public, and if there's anybody from the public who would like to be heard, we'd like to have that opportunity. And if so, you could step forward and state your name and do that.
My name is Scott Campion. I live right across the street in the condos where I'm in the postal. I bought it in 2001, so I saw the whole, building and advent of it. And when it first opened up, it was a great facility. It was lively, and everything was great there. And then it kind of went through that downward spiral. And I ended up purchasing in there a couple of years ago when I saw that opportunity, because I knew that it was a great place and that it could be a great place again. And now I'm part of the board and, I'm trying to help revitalize it, because it is a neat, unique location. And, as you just said, that, it's really coming back around. A few years ago, it was, there wasn't a very good reputation there. And, and living right across the street, we didn't want it to stay like that. And I think everybody in the neighborhood, all my neighbors, are so happy with what's going on now. So we just want to keep that upward momentum and, giving the business owners, limiting the business owners, won't do that. But I think all the business owners are really working together for positive, movement. I think one of the problems, and I think that's what we're addressing here, is signage. I have a lot of customers that come, and people come even from Hammock Beach Resort. They put it into their, Google Maps, and they drive back and forth a couple times because they don't know that anything is really there. And I think that's one of the reasons that we wanted to add a sign on the outside of the building and that makes a lot of sense. But you know, being living, you know, I probably had a driver from my front door to the European Village, and living there and seeing everything that's happened there, I'm very happy with what's going on. So I just want my two cents.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public like to be heard?
Hello, I'm Laura Castro. We own two restaurants in the European Village. So you can see Burrito 101. It's not a European restaurant, it's a Latin American restaurant. And we also have a steakhouse, Chocolos 101, which is all American food. I'm also part of the board. The first time I came to Palm Coast was in 2008 to visit my sister-in-law. She brought us to the European Village and we loved the concept. Then we came back in 2010 and everything was gone. But we still loved it and we still believed in the place, and we saw opportunity, and we ended up buying 5 locations and also only 2 residential units. So we are completely invested in the European Village. We've been already in business for 3 years and our numbers keep growing and growing. We're really happy with what's going on with the farmers market. That's brought a lot of business on Sundays and the rest of the week. I also live right across from the European Village, not where Scott lives, but like right next to where he lives. And all of our neighbors that have been living there for a while, they're really happy with what we've done with the European Village, as well as what's being done with residential. You know, like people are raising their rent, so the people that are living there are also better tenants. And basically, us as a board, we want to make sure that all the storefronts are occupied. Obviously, we're going to make sure that nobody, you know, what we do is that we make sure nobody's like competing with each other or some sort. But we definitely need signage. A lot of, like Scott said, a lot of my customers, they call me when it's the first time they're coming from Hammond Beach. They drive past to it. I don't know why the GPS takes them somewhere else. And they basically can't even see our warning sign. I have to explain to them it's on the light under the bridge. They're even standing under the light under the bridge and they can see it because they don't understand that inside a building there's a nice, beautiful courtyard with businesses. So it'll be great if we can add signage on the outside of our walls so that people that do not know anything about the European Village and be like, oh, what is that? Or people that are coming to visit us, they know where we are. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak?
I told Irene I wouldn't speak, but I can't help myself. I have to say a little bit because we talked about the bad times that happened. And my name is Aleida Farina. I own the Europa restaurant in the European Village. And how much more European could you be by calling your restaurant, naming it Europa? So it has the label there. But since we hear about changes and signage, etc., I second what Scott and Laura have said. People just go past and think it's say assisted living place or just a block of, you know, of buildings. And this way, the signage would really help us to, we were there since day one, we survived the bad times, and we'd like to see the good times get better. So the signage would really help to get, put us back on the map. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Seeing no one else approach, we'll close the public hearing. We'll bring it back to the board, and we will entertain a motion or any further discussion.
I'd like to know where, how big the sign is going to be. Description of the sign, and where, and how far up in the air is? You're under the bridge, so where? I know where that porch is in the front of the building. If it's going to be on top of that porch, that means that. That's a pretty good sector. You can see it from the bridge. However, if I'm driving along on the street, when you come around that curve, I'm not so sure that sign would have the effect it's supposed to. Especially if you're coming from the right. You'd be behind the sign. How big is it? And dimensions, that's what I'm interested in. How high is it up in the air?
Those details may come later, Mr. Henderson. Those details will come later. They will have to comply with our land development code when it comes to wall signage. So the dimensions could be smaller, could be... What we're trying to do is, and the MPD does not permit any signage on the outside of the building. So
I know it doesn't.
The proposal is to be able to have some wall signage that would brand the European Village, kind of this as an example. But they would have to meet our, when they come in for a sign program, it's very typical for our commercial buildings that you may approve.
Okay.
The sign comes in later, but we have the code and regulations that regulate the size of that. So they will comply with our regulation. We just don't have, you know, the total dimensions right now, but they'll comply with our code.
All right.
I'd like to move that we recommend to the City Council the adoption of the resolution approving the amended and restated master plan development agreement for the European Village.
We have a motion by Mr. Cuff.
Aye.
Second by Mr. Henderson. Any further discussion?
Yes. One question. European Village does not have any signage on the roadway.
They have a small monument sign.
That's it.
No.
The small monument sign.
Why would we be pushing to put more signage on the roadway?
I'm asking about the signage.
That's my question. I mean, if we've got just a tiny sign, monument sign on the roadway, putting something like this, or whatever size is going to be permitted, on top of a building that's facing only the overpass, I don't see which you're going to get any recognition from it.
Yeah, I think this is just an example of what they might do. There's nothing yet that's been submitted that the staff can issue a sign for now.
And that's probably a pretty good location, though, because, I mean, yeah, you're going to get some folks on the bridge, but when you're coming down, when you're going down Palm Harbor Parkway, you're going to be able to see that front entrance. To know that there's shops and...
Yeah, at Ray, if I've been out here working with the folks at European Village, of course, if you've been there, you know it's in a interesting condition with the bridge, and I know, you know, work for quite some time on what would be the best location, and also realize that the exterior has a lot of windows, so it limits, you know, where you can put a sign because you don't want to block a residence window. So this is probably, you know, one of the better locations, but as Ray said, I'm sure they'll be figured out as they go along in the sign permitting process. But yeah, it's we hear it all the time about people looking for European Village and, you know, how you get to it with the turning right instead of what would seem to be left. But I know the group has been working very diligently on the sign program to get the maximum bang for their buck for when they go and install that sign.
Okay. We have any other discussion on the motion? And if not, we'll go ahead and call the vote, please.
Mr. Henderson.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Mr. Cuff.
Yes.
Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Beebe.
Yes.
The motion carries.
That carries. Thank you very much. Okay, with that concludes our agenda tonight. Mr. Tyner, do you have anything else for the board before we adjourn?
Just that we're continuing to work on the land development code with the FCAR group, and we're making very good progress. We're meeting on a weekly basis. So I am really hoping that in a month or two that we will start coordinating some workshops to go over our landscape chapter.
Okay, thank you for that update.
Mr. Beebe, just like board members to know, be reminded about the meeting coming up next week, the Citizens Advisory.
Next,
Twenty-seventh.
Twenty-seventh at 5:30.
Okay. Anything else from the board? If not, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
And a second. All in favor, aye. Thank you very much, everyone.